Hello again, 欢迎来到 Happy Hour 英文小酒馆。关注公众号露露的英文小酒馆，加入我们的酒馆社群，邂逅更精彩、更广阔的世界。Hi everyone, welcome back to your favorite segment, Global Village, 小酒馆大世界。Today we have another guest in our studio from another part of the world, our neighbor Russia.
今天我们请来了一位俄罗斯小姐姐，她中文超棒，会写诗，是 B 站文化 UP 主。还有一个特别美的中文名字叫唐西兰。
Today she's going to talk to us about Russian culture. Welcome to the studio, 西兰。
Hello, 大家好。
As kind of a tradition of the show, could you say hi to our audience very quickly in Russian?
好的，我说一句嘛。Всем привет! 就这么简单。
What does that mean?
这就是大家好的意思啊。
So first question I would like to ask you is where in Russia are you from? And how would you describe that region so we can have a general idea?
Yeah, sure. I will tell everyone. Actually, I'm from the small and very Asian city in my country. It's called Ryazan. I think in China, it'spronounced as Liangzan. So it's like, it's very similar to the name of that Kung Fu master. I don't know, like Liangzan. It's right the same way. And actually, the place I born in is a very old Asian city, even more older than Moscow. So it's like a very historical place, but it's not a very big city. So usually we don't have a lot of population there and like the city is very small. So this region actually has rich traditions and centuries old history. So in the past, people who lived there, they created a great cultural layer of traditions and memory of many generations, which is like inseparable from the Slavic culture. So that region is mostly like famous for Slavic culture.
The Slavic culture.
Yes, like very Russian, real Russian traditional place. So also we have a lot of natural resources and the main waterway is Oka River, divides the territory of the Ryazan region in two parts. So it's like separated in northern and covered mostly with forests. The southern one covered with the forest steppes. So the climate is kind of gently continental, I would say. So it's not very cold and it's not very hot.
That sounds ideal. So it's rich in history and it's also rich in natural resources. But actually brings us, you mentioned it's more the Slavic culture, Slavu 文化. Now,here, I would like to ask a relevant question. So Russia is a massive country that spans two continents. So you have the Asian part, you have the European part. How has this affected the people and culture? So would you say Russia is more divided, as in some parts are more European, some parts are more Asian? Or is it everyone is feeling two sides of the culture?
You know, like recently...because they made a lot of research about this territory thing. And mainly, there is no official information or official reason to say that Russia is just European or like Asian. Because like, as you said, the territory is very big and covered most of the part of the Asia, especially to the east place, like Mongolia and that area. But, you know, Russia is considered to be both, like in Europe and Asia. And because of the...territory straddles both continents, which it's a true Eurasian character, but it's also observed like, you know, it's very hard to say because our country is very big and we have a lot of different ethnic groups. We just don't have Russian. We also have a lot of ethnic groups that more related to Asian countries, such as Central Asia and like Asian, like Mongolian people and others. So, but it's also like generally accepted now that 23% of Russia is in Europe and 77% in Asia.
I see.
Yeah, but the most of population in Russia lives in the European part of the country. So I think it's more related to historical development, such as from the long history back then, the European countries that were near to the Russian part, like European part of the Russia, they were communicating more closer than for example, China with Russia, because, you know, China is too far from the European part, where it's the Moscow and St. Petersburg, those big cities there. They didn't have enough contacts. So that's why maybe European culture and lifestyle actually affects us more than Asian one. But we still, like, I can say that we officially, we don't define ourselves as European or in Asian country.
Just Russian.
Yeah, with something in the middle or something special. I don't know.
Rather unique identity.
Yeah, the unique. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I know that's a really complex topic, but we're not going to obviously go into history or politics. But one thing, one big part of any culture is the food culture.
Oh, yeah.
The reason why I was asking that question is also, for example, you said that's a very unique culture. You got influences from both sides. Then what is the food culture like?
Well, actually, you know, the Russian food culture is not that much complicated as Chinese one, I must say. Because, you know, in China, each village, each city, each region has like its own special unique type of food. Yeah, and sometimes I'm sure like there are a lot of Chinese people who have never been to some other parts in their country. They never tried it before.
That is definitely true.
Yeah, so for us, because we also we have a lot of nationalities in my country, and you know the food also can be different. Like if there are some ethnic groups, they might have their own special cuisine. You know, like different foods, but as mainly. Traditionally, for Russian people, we don't have a very complex type of Russian food. Like most, the main food is like soup. It can be like different, like borscht, know, like a very traditional one. And I must say, like potatoes and bread are two main things that we considered to have all the time. For example, if they say, like in my country, we say, if you don't have any food, but if you have bread or potato, you will not starve to death. You will survive. I think it's the same analogy with
rice.
Like in China, rice is the
staple. It's the staple.
Everything, right? Yes.
But in China, it's perhaps more southern. Northern people, I think they do eat mantou a lot. So it's that, and that part is probably closer to like bread.
Yeah, maybe like mantou and noodles.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
It's so original, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the staples. But do you eat a lot of meat in the daily diet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We love meat. We eat a lot. I remember back myself, like I was studying at middle and high school in Russia. And those times, I remember every weekend, me and my parents was going to the countryside, spending time outside, and we usually always do barbecue. I think it's more similar to European culture because you know European people also like to go outside countryside or for picnics, so they need to make a barbecue. They like meat as well.
If I remember correctly, there is something in Russia called dasha. Am I pronouncing that right? It's like a summer house sort of thing, like outside of
it's dacha.
Dacha. Okay. Sorry for the pronunciation.
It's called dacha. It's like kind of a house that you always go on weekends or on holidays or vacations. It's not like the stable place for living, but also there are some people, they prefer to live in the countryside and work in the city. So they have cars, they go to the city for work like every morning. Like my parents, usually my father, he likes to spend time in the village. He thinks it's much peaceful for him. I think it's also related to the age.
Yeah, true.
I think when you get older, you want to run from that big city, from this, you know, crazy lifestyle. And that's why, like, my parents also like to spend time outside, like, in the countryside. But usually, me, myself, I also like village. Like, I like countryside because, you know, being as a poet, writing poems or something, I need
the quiet,
that connection with the nature a lot. So it's kind of effects on me.
So that was a little bit about the food itself. But what about the lifestyle? Like, do people mostly cook at home? Like now your generation, do people mostly cook at home or eat out? If at home, then who does the cooking?
Yeah, I think this is also a very good question because I've been like living in China for past 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. And I found out that nowadays there are a lot of people, they don't cook at home or they even don't know how to cook. Yeah. They just go outside. I think it's also related to, you know, economical development, like the economy, the lifestyle, everything gets easier. You can order, take in, you can, you just can go outside and there are like few blocks, you already find some food and you don't have to like consider to cook something yourself. But I think this is also a big problem because everything we eat outside is actually is not good for health because you don't know what they use.
Exactly.
Maybe it's not fresh products or they use like a second, third time oil. Mm. Like they don't use the fresh one, the new one. It's also like affects on people's health. And in my country, like my parents, is for my family, we prefer to cook home every time. Like my father, I wouldn't say he doesn't like to eat outside. Mm. I mean, you know, it depends because sometimes if there is some gathering or party, for sure, you like you're going outside somewhere with friends, you have to eat outside. But he still prefers to eat home at home. And usually my mom cooks for him. Like in my country, women mostly cook for a man or for the family.
I see.
But it's kind of different from China because like recently,
really?
A lot of Chinese men for the family.
Maybe that's just, I still think that.
I don't know. Like a lot of people told me.
Probably the majority I have seen still women does all the cooking. Maybe they are now more men in China doing the cooking. I'm not sure if it's a trend.
Yeah, I think it's a young generation mostly, maybe like young guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like for us, and I also kind of try to find some time to cook myself at home, like recently, because also of my lifestyle is mostly like Chinese people. I'm always in rush. I'm always going somewhere. I'm always doing something. So it kind of affects on my time. I don't have enough time to cook. But if I have that time, I'm using it for cooking. I'm doing my home food or I just don't know, like something else.
I share that passion.
Yeah.
那边和温柔知性的俄罗斯小姐姐聊着天，这边酒馆就同步为喜欢体验世界惊喜的你奉上来自战斗民族的极北台原伏特加，酒质干裂，入口温润，阿尔法级的纯饮品质，会颠覆你对普通调酒用伏特加的种种偏见。原来高品质伏特加如此纯净，是可以不辣嗓子的。现在酒馆限时上新活动，下单即赠霸气鹿头酒嘴和子弹酒杯。关注公众号露露的英文小酒馆，打开酒馆铺子，体验来自斯拉夫文化的豪情吧。